let go of the world where you were before you walked in here. I promise you, it'll be waiting for you. So for an hour, yeah, and then we have an incredible experience of seeing that the world doesn't rest on our shoulders. It actually continues to exist and to move and do its thing, whether you're personally involved or not, so that we can let go of some of that sense of responsibility for so much outside of ourselves. And just remind yourself that you are absolutely gorgeous. Remind yourself that you are absolutely gorgeous. Okay. We are going to continue with the laws of healing, and it's on page we left off on page 554. And we were working on paragraph 3 the last time. What I'm going to do, I'm just going to read through the paragraph, and then we just restate it and see if we got basically what the message is. Okay? So I want to get the whole thought. It says, guilt asks for punishment, and its request is granted. Not in truth, but in the world of shadows and illusions built on sin. The Son of God perceived what he would see. You see what you see, because perception is a wish fulfilled. What you see is a wish fulfilled. Perception changes, made to take the place of changeless knowledge. Perception changes. The truth is unchanged. The truth cannot be perceived. You cannot see the truth, but only known. You can only know the truth. What is perceived takes many forms, and none has meaning. Brought to truth, the senselessness of what you perceive is quite apparent. Kept apart from the truth, it seems to be meaningless and real. Okay. That was that paragraph 3. So how can we bring it down to our day-to-day illusion, our regular reality? Course says that in this world, whenever you feel guilty, you're asking for punishment. But the truth is, in reality, where we really came from as spiritual beings, there's no such thing as punishment, because it's only love. So whenever we feel guilty, we're asking for punishment in this world, or change. An illusion. And he says that you are seeing what you're looking at right now in your life because it's the fulfillment of your wish. So you are seeing what you wish to see according to this. And it says the reason why our perception changes. Have you noticed that perception changes? Well, the Course says what we're using right now is perception, right? And it changes. And it says, so what we are using right now was made to take the place of knowledge and truth. The truth and what's real does not change. And what we made up and what we see is things that change. And the Course is trying to say the reason why you're seeing the things that you see in your life is because you wish to see them. You would rather see what you want to see then you would rather see the truth. So it's saying basically what we're looking at is what we'd rather see than the truth. And that's why it changes, because it's not the truth. Then it goes on to say that, and you got to admit that you can't. Then it gives us the definition. So if it's real, it's unchanged, and if it's the truth, it cannot be perceived. You can only know the truth. The truth is something that you know. It's not necessarily something that you see. Like I can know I'm a spiritual being that's beyond just being a human body. But I can look like a human body. You see the difference? You can know what you are without seeing it. And you can know, and in this world, you have to actually know you are valuable. You just have to know that you are loved. You just have to accept that you are okay and that you are valuable, even if you don't perceive it. That's the difference between truth and perception. A person that's coming from power is a person that knows the truth, and they don't care what they see on the outside. And they really don't care what anybody else is saying on the outside. They could care less. There's nobody in this room that could convince me that I'm anybody other than Earl Purdy. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't care what y'all say. I still would think I was Earl Purdy. That's the way it is with something that's real. You don't care if anybody else agree with you or believe you, or even if someone tries to convince you of something different. If you know it, you're not going to change your mind about it. The only thing that we change our minds about are things we don't know. Isn't that deep? I change my mind about how you feel about me because I don't know how you feel about me, and I don't know how I feel about you. If I knew that I loved you and you knew that you loved me, the love would never change. It's only changing because we don't know if we love each other. So whatever changes is not true. That's totally opposite to everything I've been taught. And the Course is not going opposite to what we've been taught. It says that everything in this world does change. So you're right. If you think everything in this world does change, you're right. And it said, but this ain't the only world. It says, this is the world of change. That's what we're in. So it says what we're doing is so ridiculous is that we're trying to make things permanent in a world of change. Don't you see that we're busy? So in other words, instead of letting my love for you expand, which is a change, right, then what I try to do is see if I can get your love not to change. And so the Course is saying, you're right, real love doesn't change. Real love expands. It grows. But if the love grows or your happiness grows, it hasn't changed. Because it was created to grow. You know what I'm saying? A pear tree that produces a pear plant didn't change. It was created to produce pears. So the producing the pears was all part of being a pear tree. So the pear tree never changed. That's the same thing with us. If we are really into our power, and we're really into our joy, and we're really into our happiness, it doesn't change. It just extends and it expands. Okay? And the Course says that things that make sense to you do not make sense at all when you bring it to the truth. If you're telling yourself that you are guilty and you learn the truth is that you're innocent, the minute you recognize that you're innocent, you automatically dispel your guilt. It's like you're feeling guilty about something you think you've done to somebody, and they tell you, well, you know, the truth is you can do anything to me. I've been feeling great. Immediately, if you got any sense, your guilt about what you think you did to that person should dissipate because your illusion was brought to the truth. The truth is you didn't do anything to me. Your illusion is you did. So the Course says that's true in every situation. Every time you bring anything to the truth that's not true, the truth will dispel it. So if I'm afraid, it's because I haven't brought my fear to the truth that would dispel it. If I feel lack in my life in some way, it's because I haven't brought my lack to the abundance that would dispel it. If whatever state you're in right now that you don't feel really good in, that's just a state that you have not brought to the truth so that the truth can dispel it.
Say that one again.
Yeah. I think back to the analogy I just gave about, you know, if you feel guilty because you think you hurt somebody, and then they say, you know, you didn't. You didn't hurt me at all. I feel fine. Well, that's the truth. And so if you were feeling guilty about hurting them, your guilt should immediately disappear because you see they're okay. And that's what the Course is saying. Any kind of illusion, when you bring it to the truth, you can always tell because the truth will dispel it. So if I've got a bunch of problems that haven't been solved, then I have a bunch of problems I haven't brought to the truth yet, because the minute I bring them to the answer dispels them. So that would mean that all the answers that I have brought my problems to were not the right answer, because the right answer would dispel the problem. It would answer the problem. So any situation that you are still pondering in your life that has been like a long-term issue for you, what's important to recognize is that it can be healed. Even an incurable disease can be healed when it's brought to the truth. So I want everything in my life to be brought to the truth now. The Course says, if you keep it apart from the truth, it will seem like it has meaning and is real. If I feel guilty about what I thought I did to you, it's on page 554. That's okay. If I feel guilty about what I thought I did to you, and you never let me know I'm innocent, for instance, that I really didn't do it, well, until I bring that guilt to the truth, I still keep feeling guilty. So the Course is saying this, as long as you keep it separate from love, then whatever you're going through is going to seem to be real as long as you keep it separate from the truth. So if you think you're insecure, and you've been insecure for years and years and years, it means that you have not brought your insecurity to your security. You haven't brought your insecurity to the truth yet. So people say, well, how can I get rid of my insecurity? You get rid of your insecurity by getting in touch with what your security is. But the Course says what we do is we try to make the insecure self secure. And it never works. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
Have you noticed that you can't bring your insecure self, you can't make your insecure self secure? If you really are into the truth really deeply, you realize you're not making your insecure self secure. You're getting in touch with a part of yourself that was always there, but you didn't know it because it was covered up with the ideas that you had about yourself that weren't true. See, the idea that I'm insecure is an idea that is not true about me, but that idea covers my secure self. And so I just see my insecure self because that's what I'm looking at. I see this glass because this is what I'm looking at. But if I look at you, my God, you are there, but the glass is here too, but I'm not looking at the glass anymore. I don't even see the glass. All I see is you. So the Course is saying we are looking at what we want to look at. This is your insecure self, right? But here's your secure self. You could be looking at it, but what we're trying to do is turn the glass into the remote control. And he says, no, just look at the remote control. It's a lot easier than trying to turn the glass into the remote control. Don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're trying to see your abundant self, don't be trying to turn your poor self into a rich self. Your poor self is doing its job as being poor. That's what it was made to do. That's why it's called poor self. And if you notice, poor self does poor good. Doesn't it? So you really have a perfect poor self. So leave it alone. It's a perfect poor self. A thought, really. Your rich self, it's also just as real. Okay. So then we go, well, why don't I see it? Aha. Aha. That's where the Course comes in. It undoes the beliefs and the blocks that keep you from looking at your rich self. That's all it does. It just removes the things that you're telling yourself that's making you keep looking at your poor self. So, any questions about that before I go to the next paragraph? The simplicity of the Course is the most dangerous part of it. The Course says there's nothing that's harder for us to recognize than the obvious. Because we've trained ourselves to be as complex as possible in order to hide the simplicity of the answer. Because we're afraid of what we're asking for. I said, what? Yeah. Well, you would have to be afraid of it if you haven't received it. Because there's nothing you could truly want as a child of God that would not be drawn or would not be manifested if you truly wanted it. To wholly desire is to create. If you want to create anything in your life, you have to totally desire it. Okay, then my ego says, well, shoot, if I got to totally desire it, then no telling how long it's going to take before I have it. If I got to totally desire it without having any doubts, well, I'm cooked. My goose is cooked. I never have what I want, right? And then the course is so sane, it's always got an answer for the part of you that tries to mess you up. This is what it says. Well, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. If you got 30% faith, then the Holy Spirit will fill in the missing 70% so that you'll have 100% faith. Then my problem is I don't even have faith in that. you know, it's like what's cool about the Course is whenever you hear the Course, you'll immediately hear your opposite opposing thought. Have you noticed that? It's almost like the mind is playing a game of whatever you say, Earl, I'm going to see if I can find the flaw in that statement or how it couldn't work. I don't know if you noticed it, but my mind does that. It immediately come up with all the reasons why that couldn't be true. You know what's so good about that? It makes you totally aware of the thoughts that you have that don't believe anything that you say. And it's those thoughts that's producing the experience that's causing your misery. But you didn't know it. They were invisible until I say you can have 100% faith by the Holy Spirit making up for the faith you don't have. And the part of you goes, I can't even believe that. Bam! You just saw the thought. I can't believe that. Okay. If you can't believe that, that's why you don't see that. So it's no one outside of you depriving you of anything. You have secret thoughts that you don't know about that are depriving you. And the Course brings all the secret thoughts up into your vision, but you have to be a very strong soul to do that. You have to be a very powerful soul to really be willing to look at your shadow. Most people won't look at their shadow because they're trying so hard to be good because they believe they're so bad. You know, they're not trying to be good because they think they're good. They're trying to be good because they think they're bad. I'm trying to be strong because I think I'm weak. I'm trying to be rich because I believe I am poor. So your experience is coming at you at the level of your belief. I want to be rich, but I believe that I am poor. That's why you see the poverty in your life. I wish I had a relationship, but I believe I can't have one. That's why you don't ever get it, though you want it. See, because the belief is stronger than the wanting. That's deep. So I love hearing this because it helps me recognize that I'm not the victim. And it helps me recognize that all I have to do is turn my head instead of trying to change what? The glass into the remote control. So that's good. Now, I asked about questions and for some reason I went off. I don't even remember what happened. Okay.
We all have these dazed looks on our faces. You talking.
That's what I know. That's why I want to go a little bit past the days because the tendency is to walk out of the room and forget everything we've heard. And I think we need to stop doing that. I think we need to stop pulling the information back out of ourselves so we won't go into course amnesia when we leave. You know, I know I was there. I don't know what he said. You really ought to go to this class. Well, what did he talk about? Well, I don't know. You just need to come. I can't exactly tell you, but you just need to go. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm saying. It's like, you know, isn't that weird that you go to a class and you can't tell anybody anything that you get out of it, but you're dedicated? Yeah. So that is a total witness to the fact that the Course says we have a split mind, that we have two minds.
Well, I have this, you know, when you were talking about that, I think about the little, you know, the visual of the little devil, Connie.
That's right.
Sitting on my shoulder.
That's right.
I don't even know, go play hooky from work, okay. Or, you know, be great to steal $1 million or whatever. I don't even know what it is. And the reality is he's not here on my shoulder. He's in my head.
Right. Right.
And that when I try and pretend like he's not there or whatever, she is probably when she's doing the most damage.
She's
all the time.
Thank you. It's amazing how many people think the way that you avoid getting run over by a train when you're standing in the middle of the track is to put your hands over your eyes. I just won't look, and then if the train won't hit me, I think it's just the opposite. I think if I'm holding my eyes and I see a train barreling down on me, I get off the track. But truth students generally don't want to hear the truth because it sounds negative to the ego. And so people want to hear only what makes them feel good. The Course in Miracles teaches that the body's comfort is our guiding rule. That's what the average person is ruled by, is the desire to be comfortable. Right? I'm working hard to be comfortable. I want a comfortable life. I want comfort. Forget the truth. I want comfort.
Isn't comfort peace, though?
That's true comfort is peace. But the body's comfort being your guiding rule means that you don't want to be exposed to anything that doesn't make you feel good. Mm-hmm. That's the way the body does. And the truth doesn't always make us feel good. That's how we know we're hearing it sometimes. We go, ooh. Mm-hmm. Ooh. You know, okay, a truth got in. You know what I'm saying? Start getting on the toilet. You know what I mean? All right. So, anyway, I know nobody here goes to the toilet. That's another secret thought. Okay. Okay. Now, okay, we'll go to the next paragraph.
Well, wait.
Okay.
So, in all deep issues, at a deep level, our task is to become aware of the thoughts that we have secretly that don't believe anything that we say sanely.
Exactly.
So I've been doing this experiment. I left here one day saying, well, so what price do I check my peace and my serenity in for?
Yeah, how much? What would you give it up for?
So what I found out was that depending on the day, I've been amazing myself. Like today, I went to have coffee after I finished my workout, and the swirl stick hit the floor, and I gave up my peace for a swirl stick. I went right to God.
Mm-hmm.
You dropped the swirl stick.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, because I was thinking, well, I'll give up my peace. I'll be like Mother Teresa. Yeah. But no, it's swirl sticks.
We can round it off to anything that happens.
Right, because secretly I've got a deep belief that tells me the world should be my convenience.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And I'm angry because it is not acting out my fantasy. That's what everybody's mad about. Everybody's mad about some fantasy or some script that is not being acted out. Even if it's me being mad at myself for not acting out the script I wrote for me.
So that's a deep block to healing.
It's a deep block to healing because I'm going to see whatever I wish to see. And if I wish to see it like nothing goes right for me, then my perception is going to be a wish fulfilled. But I shouldn't be like tripping about that. All I need to do is bring that idea that nothing goes right for me to the truth. The truth is, everything goes right for me. That's the truth. Now, I need everything that keeps me from seeing that to be removed from my mind. That's what the Course says you do. You ask for the block to be removed. If I let the shade up, the sunlight will shine through on its own. I don't have to affirm the sunlight.
So you don't have to see what the blocks are even.
Well, you're actually seeing, this is deep, that's my little question. You're actually seeing what the block is by saying you want the block removed. Because that means you finally recognize that the thing that's keeping you from having what you want is in your own mind. So you can't even say that until you reach another level of consciousness. You can't even say that from a low level of consciousness. Because a person on a low level of consciousness, all they're seeing is the justification for their anger. That's the only thing that they see. They see why, they'll tell you all the reasons why what they're going through is real. So they're totally focused in on that.
So the awareness of the blocks is a good step.
The awareness of the, I take it a step further, you can handle this much good news.
Okay.
The awareness of the block dispels the block. But we're like part-time aware.
Right?
For just a second in a class, we might entertain the idea that the block is being created by us, right? And then leave out and go right back to the justifications for the anger. See, so when I'm aware that it's my block, then I don't let the block stop me. So you get the, you actually get the healing at the same time you have the recognition. For instance, if I'm with you right now and I decide not to attack you and to be peaceful with you right now, well, then I get the reward of that right now, which is me being peaceful with you and not attacking you right now. But see, my ego says I should look in the future for the peace that came for me giving you the peace right now. See how we do it. If I'm nice today, then 6 months from now, something nice is going to happen to me, right? And the Course is saying, no. Our concept of time is wrong. It is immediate. If I'm peaceful with you right now, guess what? I'm getting the results of being peaceful with you when? Right now. So the peace I give you in this moment, then I shouldn't be looking for the result of that peace in the next moment. I'm getting the result of that peace in this moment. And so if I'll be in peace with you in this moment, the Course says, then that moment of peace extends to the next moment. Because you're in peace. And you stay there. Which means what? 203, I don't attack you and I have peace with you at 203. 204, I don't attack you and then I have peace with you at 204. 205. I don't attack you in 205. And I have peace with you. You see what I'm saying? But we don't want to do that, see? We got along up until yesterday. Yeah. Well, you were asking for peace and treating each other cool up until yesterday. And that's why it lasted then. Because if I give you hell at 206, I get hell at 206. And then I get hell in 207 because I'm saying you the reason why there's hell in 207. Then I have hell in 208 because I'm waiting for you to change in 208. Then I... See how we do it? That's deep stuff. I mean, we're really hearing stuff that a part of us does not want us to hear. I'm telling you. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of personal power. To know that you have the power to give yourself peace in any moment. Phew. And if you practice with the little stuff, you build up a muscle, a peace muscle, and then when you build up that peace, your peace aerobics. I didn't attack you in this moment. I didn't attack you in this moment. I bit pressed my husband just this morning. You know, I didn't get as mad at him as I could have. I bit pressed 300 pounds. You know what I'm saying? It's a different kind of aerobics. And so when you start to practice having peace about small things, then when the larger things happen that could really freak you out, you would have built up some peace. So you start out with the parking space that the person took, and then you work up to the person that almost killed you. People do it just the opposite. They start out with the hardest person first. That would be just like you going down to learn how to fly a plane, and they said, now, come on, let's go to this Boeing 747 jumbo jet. We're going to let you fly today. And you'd be freaking out. You know? And that's us. Oh, yeah. Love everybody. That's the jumbo jet. You know, feel peace about everybody. It's like, you can feel peace about your cat. You be doing the good. Start there. If you could not freak out about your pimple, you would be moving toward God. You know, you don't even have pimple peace, and you trying to go all the way to God peace. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I do it all the time. You know, I want to be as rich as Oprah. Wouldn't it be good if you could just pay your light bill? Start there. It's so funny. So we set these impossible goals that we're like doomed to fail at, right? And then we just give up. And that's exactly what the ego wants us to do. Because then what happens? The glass stays in place and you still keep looking at the glass. See, it's still there, right? There are other things to look at other than what you're seeing. You have other lives you could be looking at other than the one you're looking at. Just like, here's the glass. Here is your life as the millionaire. And over here is your life as the famous writer. And over here is your life as this incredible physician. And over here is your life as the famous, you know what I'm saying? There are all these simultaneous things we could be looking at instead of the glass we call in our life right now. It's much easier to tune into your wealthy life than to try to change your poor one into the wealthy one. So is it possible you have all kinds of incredible opportunities or experiences available to you that you may not be aware of? Is that possible? Everybody agree? Could we say that's possible?
Yeah.
That's all we need to let it in. It's just to go, you know, that's possible. That's awesome. I love it. 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 That was just one paragraph. Okay, y'all ready for the next one? I love questions. Questions allow me to channel. Stuff just zoomed through me with a question. It's weird. Well, everything you ask is generally what somebody wants to know, but they're not saying. I may have the same thing. Because I forget sometimes how the course sounds when you first hear it, because I've been listening to it so long. So I forget the reaction. So a lot of stuff I say, I totally have peace about what that means now, but I freaked out when I first heard it. And I sometimes forget people hearing it for the first time are freaking out, and I feel totally comfortable about what they're freaking out about, but they won't say they're freaking out. So they just don't come back. They have their seat, they scare themselves to death, and then they leave and say, I said something frightening. It's funny. Okay. Okay, so perception's laws are opposite to truth. That means what is true of knowledge is not true of anything that's apart from knowledge. So, God has given an answer to the world of sickness, which applies to all its forms. God's answer is eternal, though God's answer works in time where God's answer is needed. Yet because the answer is of God, the laws of time do not affect God's answer's workings. God's answer is in this world, but God's answer is not a part of this world. For God's answer is real, so God's answer dwells where all reality must be. Ideas leave not their source. Your ideas do not leave. Ideas do not leave what caused the ideas. And their effects just seem to be apart from them. Ideas are of the mind. What is projected out, in other words, what seems to be external to the mind, is not outside at all. What seems to be external to the mind is just an effect of what is in the mind, and what seems to be external from your mind has not left its source. Ooh, that was deep. That was really deep. Wow. Okay, let's see if we can just say it. Okay, we agree that we're using perception right now, right? Okay, so he says perception is the opposite of what's true. So that means everything you're seeing is the opposite of what is really true. Everybody know what that means? I bet you do. I bet you think a minute. You do understand exactly what I mean. What you might have a problem is accepting it. You know what opposite means, right? Okay. Does everybody know what opposite means? Okay. Perception's laws are the opposite of what's really true. Now, if I say it like that, it makes more sense. What we're seeing now is really the opposite of what's really, really true. And knowledge is permanent. Knowledge is safe. Knowledge is love, right? And so what is true of knowledge is not true of anything that's apart from knowledge. So, is everything here safe? No. I'll answer for you. Okay, in case y'all got a problem with that. Did y'all read the Denver Post? Everything here ain't safe. Okay, don't be that leaping the line. Okay. Then it says, is everything here healthy? Is everything here happy? Is everything here peaceful? Okay. Then what is true of knowledge is not true of anything that's not apart from knowledge. So this right here is not the way things were really created by love. Could we agree? Mm-hmm. All right, so that's what the Course says. Then you have to realize that what you are experiencing in your life, if it's anything other than love, cannot be true. Now, if it's not true, will it end?
Yes.
Then that means that whatever you're going through will end if it's not bringing you happiness. It's going to end no matter what you do or not do. It's going to end whether you read a book or not read a book. It's going to end whether you meditate or not meditate. If anything that's not of love does not last eternally, at the very least, you would die. Yeah, it's not going to last forever. Whatever you think is just not bringing you peace. It's not a relationship that is not happy is guaranteed not to last. A job that you hate, really hate, is guaranteed to end. You see what I'm saying? The universe is not set up so that painful conditions always exist and last. The Course says, the truth says, the reason why we're so tired is because we're always trying to uphold our illusion. And it's got us tired. You know, I have these ideas about Earl. And I'm always trying to keep these ideas about Earl going. And nobody's helping me because nobody else even knows what these ideas really are. And that's why we're tired, because we're trying to uphold a private world that nobody else is involved in. That is tiresome. Nobody's helping us. So I got to keep all this going by myself. Nobody's helping me. The universe doesn't help you until you want it for everybody. The universe is not the least bit, the Course of the universe isn't the least, God isn't the least bit concerned with your personal happiness. Oh, the Creator just wants Earl to party like a big dog. The Creator, you know, he just wants Earl to be happy. He just wants Earl's dream. You know, Earl got this dream, and God is really into Earl's dream. Don't care about y'all's dream. It's about me. You know, the book is saying, no. It's not real until it's desire for everyone, because everyone is you. For me not to want you to have the things that make you happy is to leave out part of myself. So that's like creating a part of myself that won't be happy, right? Because I left her out, right? Then when I experience a lack of happiness in myself, I wonder where it came from. And I don't know that it's coming from excluding everyone else. That's why we're never completely happy. It's because everyone else is not included. depressing about that statement? Well, my personal sense of responsibility for everybody's happiness around me. If I look at myself as being the kind of person that's my job to make everybody happy, you just gave me a hell of a lot of work. You know, to want to include everybody else's happiness. It's like, no, that's no work at all. That's a mental attitude. That's nothing but me saying, I really would love to have a really peaceful, harmonious life. And I would love that for everyone else, too. Mm-hmm. Now my desire has power. And you can bring it to the most minute levels. I really want a plasma TV. Bad. Channel 9's been broadcasting in high definition for 2 months. And as they tell me the most horrible things, I want to be able to see the pores of their skin clearly. Because that's what high definition does. It gives you a real lifelike picture. And I want that happiness that I experience from that to benefit everybody in the universe. See, so even though I asked for something that was basically just another illusion, because it won't last, I still, for a second, thought of somebody beside myself. And if I do that just for an instant, that's a healing at the level of God, at the level of spirit. Anytime you don't see your interest as a part from somebody else's, of course, that's when a healing happens. So the purpose of your problem is to isolate you. Because when you're afraid, you feel separate. And when you feel separate, your ego becomes stronger. So your ego is trying to create situations and circumstances that try to make you feel fearful and separate in order to keep your individual separation going. I need some fear to stay separate from you all. So I got to have just enough fear to stay separate from you guys, but not so much fear that I really get serious about getting away with it, get rid of it. So I'm a fear balancer. I keep just enough fear not to really trust y'all. But I don't get so much fear, I go, I just got to get rid of this fear. I got to do something about it. So we keep our fear very delicately balanced so that we don't change. You know, it's like I'm uncomfortable in my job, but not so uncomfortable that I have to develop another skill and go out there and do something that I really love. And besides, I've been there 20 years and I don't want to miss my retirement. You see what I mean? So what happens when you really deserve more than you've given yourself, they will lay your butt off. You will get fired. Something's going to get you out of that job. Now, you'll be tripping. I'm laid off and I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. But the truth is, you were being freed from something that was limiting you that on your own, at a conscious level, you wouldn't have never let yourself out of so that you could be free to find your true dream, your true ability. I'm in a miserable relationship. I've been in one for a long time. I don't know. I just can't leave. Da, 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 da. Then your mate falls in love with somebody else, right? And then they're gone. It looked like it was taken out of your hand. But the truth is, you finally love yourself enough that you took yourself out of a situation that was not going to allow you to be the person that you were, because you would have continued to talk yourself into staying there forever as an insecure ego. So every time something happens, it seems like at the time it's this great catastrophe. It's really you freeing yourself from a limiting situation that you would not have otherwise freed yourself from. And it looked like it was taken out of your hands, because it would be only if you can see it as being caused by something outside of yourself that you would go ahead and deal with it. They laid me off. Now I got to deal with really being who I really am and find another way to express myself. But if they hadn't laid me off, even though I hate that job, I would have stayed on until retirement. See what I'm saying? So when you won't change internally, the Course says you create external situations that force you to change. But if you would just change internally, there would be no need to go through the outer trauma.
internal, please.
Thank you. I'll take one. Y'all got one internal?
Yeah.
Okay. Does this make sense?
If we do that with our lives, though, right? I really don't like this life, but I'm going to stay here till I die.
Exactly. And so so death takes you out of this life. But okay, but here's the trip about that, and I hate to blow it, but okay, let's go back to thought. It's created, right? So it's your consciousness that created the life that you have, right? So if your body is gone, is your consciousness gone? No. So what is your consciousness going to do? It's going to recreate the same thing again. And that's what people call deja vu, or I feel like I've been through this before. You're right. You've been through it about 900 times. You wonder why you were so irresistibly attracted to that person? You've only been with them in a relationship 1,000,000 times. You know what I'm saying? Now you see why you got bored so fast? It wasn't the first time, baby. I feel like I met you in the last life, and the life for that, the life for that, the life for that, the life for that, the life for that one. And of course, you don't have to believe in reincarnation to benefit from the truth, you know. So it's not a requirement to be spiritual. It's to believe that you live more than once. But it's one idea that makes a lot of sense out of my life. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like it's too many inequalities for us to be only given one shot. It wouldn't be no kind of fairness in the universe or a fair creator if all of us was dropped on the earth for one life in all these unequal positions, but yet we was all supposed to perfect the same thing. You know, the kid that's born crippled is on the same level as you are, and y'all got the same one life to try to get it all together. That would be the most insane creator that was ever. I don't understand why it's so easy for people to accept insanity like that. But if you say something like, you have lived many times before and you're coming back in this experience because you want to learn certain spiritual lessons. Mm-hmm. Now, why does that sound crazier than the other one? Could somebody explain that to me? Mm-hmm. It doesn't. But if you hate yourself, if you hate your life, the last thing you want to think is that you might have another one. You know what I mean? So people who don't like the idea of an eternal life are people who just don't like their lives. The minute you become happy, all you want to do is stick around and enjoy it. That's it. Your desire to live comes naturally when you're really feeling happy. When you're unhappy, you want to die. You see death as a solution. If I just wasn't here, then I just wouldn't have this problem. You know what I'm saying? But if you're happy, you want your life to extend, and so you live longer. Because you want to. I want you to. But if you die, have a good time. Wherever y'all go. You know what I'm saying? Whatever happens after that. You know? If you can give me a hint, send me a postcard or something. Let me know what's going on from the other side. I got this nigga suspicion that until I wake up to who I really am, all I do is recreate another dream just like this one that just looks different. I think until we really remember who we are, we just keep going through this wheel over and over and over again. And some of us are so old, we just don't want to do it anymore. We're tired. We've had it. We may look young, but we're ancient. We're ancient. People don't stick around the Course in Miracles who are baby souls who just dropped in for the first time and they really, really got to just have a PlayStation. That's all that matters. You know what I'm saying? That's not a person usually that's, you know, ready to wake up. And I'm not putting down PlayStations. I'm just saying that's the extent of your vision is how you can just have a better human life. And that's all you think about. You're a baby. And that you're innocent. You know, and it's okay. Babies get toys and they get games and you know, you don't snatch them out the baby's hands and you don't worry about the baby. You know what I'm saying? When I was out in the backyard playing with my toys, my mother wasn't worried about what was happening with the imaginary soldiers I was playing with. So while we're playing with our imaginary soldiers, our parent isn't concerned about us either. We just make it seem so real. Don't we? Because we God children. Of course it's going to look like real blood and real bombs and real buildings and real disease because we're so powerful. But it still doesn't change the fact that you are an unlimited spiritual being who creates everything that you perceive through your thoughts, feelings, emotions, and beliefs. both subconscious and conscious. And everything that's happening in your life is a result of a wish fulfilled. Because right now, we'd rather see what we want to see than to see the truth that God is giving us. But we've now reached a point that we want some permanent joy. We want some permanent happiness. We want some constant freedom, that we don't want to be afraid anymore. We have reached the critical point, which is great. So don't feel guilty about the toys and trinkets of the world. Don't feel guilty about what you want materially in the world. It does not matter. The only thing that matters is how much peace you're going to give yourself with it. I used to try not to buy anything that I would freak out if I lost it through theft or fire or destruction. Because I knew if I bought anything that I was that concerned about, it would own me instead of me owning it. And so I ended up not buying anything. I don't have nothing. I got a TV, you know what I'm saying? But really, because I saw how easy I would give my peace away about my possessions. I don't know about y'all, but I noticed it about me. That I was asking for stuff that I was making myself afraid about. I was literally making my own fear. So I really had to get to the point that I could go, yes, I want this living room full of furniture, but if I walk in here one day and the living room full of furniture is gone, I'm not going to freak out. It's just furniture. They make other furniture. See, I had to reason with myself like that. You know, you want, because then it's not an idol. Then it's not something that can hurt you. And you can enjoy furniture that you're not afraid of somebody spilling some drink on. Yeah. You can't enjoy, like I saw this car in the paper the other day. It was called a Maybach or some kind of Bach. What did they call it? It should be a Gitbach. You know what I'm saying? It was $329,000. This was a car. Now, could you imagine how nervous he would be to park that car over there next to Walgreens? Can you imagine how much he would be worried about that car every time he parked it, left it somewhere, being scratched somebody? Well, you know what I'm saying? Unless you got a mind that knows a $329,000 car is nothing, you shouldn't have a $329,000 car. Unless I have a mind that knows that $200,000, $300,000, $500,000 house is nothing, then I shouldn't have a $500,000 house. I shouldn't have a, you know what I'm saying? With everything I want, until I get to the point that I know I wouldn't give my peace up about it, I shouldn't even give it to myself because it's a form of punishment. Mm-hmm. It's just another fear that I just gave myself, and I'm having to pay for it on credit. So I'm financing my own fears at a high rate of interest. That ain't right. You know that ain't right. Okay, I'm going to stop here, y'all, so we can get ready to go back out in the lab. So what could be the practical thought that we took out into the day? Remember this one thing, the glass and the remote control. Mm-hmm. And you would have got the whole class. The glass and the remote, when you caught up with the glass of anger, the glass of sadness, the glass of feeling alone, the glass, you know what I'm saying? If you could just remember the remote control, just that much, just that idea that there could be an alternative way, could be just a little break that spirit needs to give you a blessing in that moment. Mm-hmm. All it needs is a little opening for just a second when you're not so focused on what you think your problem is. Okay. Thank you for sharing with me in Unity Temple. I'm telling you, it's greatly appreciated. I got some flyers for the Tuesday class at 12 noon that I'm doing out south with the directions and everything. And if you'd like to have one, I got one over here. So I'd like to get a chance to get that class going. If you know somebody, let me pass this around. Or if you know somebody that lives out that way that you've been wanting to listen to the course, where you were taught that everything is left brain and everything is intellectual and what's not intellectual and analytical does not have any reality, don't deny yourself all the assistance you could get from developing your intuition and your psychic intuitive abilities, which the course calls just being more natural, knowing that minds are joined and us being able to communicate. The reason why I say that is because as you evolve more in consciousness, if you want to move fast, then you have to learn how to do what you're told without understanding how it operates. You know, I want to turn this light on in this room. Turn that dial. Turn that dial, the light comes on. I do not have to have a degree in electricity. I do not have to know anything about the copper wires and how they operate and any of that. Okay, so stop wanting to know the copper wires of your life. Stop thinking you have to understand every detail of everything before you can reap the benefits of it. No, all I have to do is know what? If you turn that dial, the light comes on. I don't have to know how the wiring and stuff works. And that's what the Course is trying to do with us. It's trying to say, if you would apply this idea, this light will come on, call your peace and your joy. And our ego is going, but how could that happen? But if you do that, how did, but if you think about what about over there, you know, and what happened when I was saying, you know what I'm talking about, what about, but 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 what about? You know, it's like somebody, I want the light on, turn the dial. But what about how the wire works? What about if the light is in the right boat? No, just go over there and turn the light on. Just flick that switch. That's what we mean. That's why it says you don't have to believe it. That's why it says that. You don't have to accept it. Just apply it. What would be applying it? It would be for me to go, I do have a rich self. I do have a loving self. I do have a spiritual self. I do have a powerful self. There is another way of looking at this. There is another way of learning this. See, it's the application is going, I'm feeling unhappy today, so what I'm feeling could not possibly be real. It could not be my reality. I must be fooling myself some kind of way. How do I know that? Because I don't feel good and I'm mad. So I must be wrong about the way that I'm seeing things. Why? Because I'm unhappy. Because I'm afraid. I am wrong about the way I'm seeing relationships. How do I know? Because I've never really had a peaceful one. I am wrong about what I think about my ability to have friends. How do I know that? Because I haven't had any. I don't want to be right about anything that makes me miserable. You want to be wrong about everything that makes you sad. None of that, you want that to be right. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong about the next situation that I'm afraid is going to happen to me. I hope I'm wrong about any kind of lack of fear attacking my life. I hope I'm wrong about believing I can't trust people or that I'm not a good person or that I'm not innocent. I want to be wrong about everything I'm telling myself that keeps me from loving myself. I don't want to be right. I'm not going to sit up and can tell you all the reasons why I'm right about how wrong I am. And then get mad at you. You know what I'm saying? And then get mad at you because you won't believe things are as bad for me as I'm saying they are. You're not being compassionate. So you're getting ready to go out in the lab. 7 o'clock tomorrow. Oh, yeah, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. My class is going to be videoed. So it would be great if any of you are free that you can come to the 7 o'clock class so there will be some people in the audience. I've been meaning to say that, so you're the only class I really got a chance to even say it to. There's so much happening in my life right now, it's hard for me to even keep up with it. But it's going to be used for marketing and promotional purposes. And someone volunteered to take care of all of it for me. And that's how I can tell that God must want to promote me some kind of way, you know. So all I have to do is show up and do what I do. So that's cool. That's a good deal, isn't it? Yeah. So anyway, that's happening tomorrow night. And so I'd love it to have somebody here. 7 o'clock. And 1 o'clock on Sunday, we're getting down. So come back at 1 o'clock on Sunday, too. All right?
All right.
I appreciate y'all.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.